You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm running with NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. We're into our matchup section of the week. I have my start sit column there you can check out on SportingNews.com. We also do a pullout for Thursday night, looking specifically at that game, as well as the DFS implications on the DraftKings Showdown slate. So that's all up there at Sporting News. We continue here breaking down the second half of games for week number 6. We did 7 of the games. We know 4 teams are on bye this week, so we have only 14 games. Talked about 7 on Matchup Wednesday, so you can catch up there to get the analysis. And as we do here in Locked On Fantasy Football, we get straight to the point and give you the information you need to know here in a digestible form over all the games of the week, give you both sides of the matchup and really go in deep. And that's what we need to do here and to continue here. And we'll dive right into it. We have a big game to talk about to open Matchup Thursday as we pick up still in the 1 p.m. window with the Texans and the Chiefs here. The over-under in this game is now 55.5 here. It's a 4.5-point spread for the Chiefs. Now, this is a type of game where you want to try to get everything in there as possible. We'll start with the Chiefs side. Patrick Mahomes is banged up a little bit. We know it. Matt Ryan, however, did to this Texans defense. Nothing scary on the back end here. It's a big spot. They're going to have to put up a lot of points with the Texans on the other side. So that's why you have this massive over-under. And I think this game will not disappoint like the Colts one, mainly because you have a team aggressive there on the other side. With the Texans, it's going to be more about throwing the ball, not playing ball control, and keeping away from Patrick Mahomes. And we'll see about Tyreek Hill returning. I'd say he has a better shot with the shoulder injury limited in practice versus Sammy Watkins, who's got a hamstring. We know he's had an issue of soft tissue injuries in the past that have kept him out of the lineup. So if anyone goes, I think it would be Tyreek Hill, but I think this is actually good news for DeMarcus Robinson. I know Mecole Hardman and Byron Pringle got some work last week, and that's guys that you could look at here should Hill sit again and Watkins be out. We know that Pringle stepped in and produced here for Watkins, but DeMarcus Robinson is still the guy I'm more interested in. I like his ability here, a little bit like Calvin Ridley was for the Falcons. Remember, this team was able to slow down Julio Jones there with the deep shot. So DeMarcus Robinson is more that bigger bodied receiver than the speed receiver here that can give problems to the Texans. So those guys were to sit, I want a share definitely of the Chiefs passing game. It's not crazy to play Hardman either because he's such a big playmaker, but I would feel a little bit better about Pringle in there with Robinson this week. And obviously Travis Kelce, the Texans are pretty good at containing the tight end overall, but he should rebound. He had a bit of a tough game against the Colts, which we thought was going to be a great matchup for him. So I think they'll get him obviously more involved should Watkins and Hill both miss this game as well. So again, Robinson is the receiver I like most, again, because of size ability there, along with Kelce, and then Pringle maybe being a big play threat as well for the Chiefs. Now, in the running game, I like LeSean McCoy and Damien Williams. I think LeSean McCoy can get more involved in the passing game this week. They're going to need him a little bit on checkdowns. They should be in more position to score this week, which also helps Damien Williams in the red zone. So if you need them as deeper league at this point, flex options, I think you can look to the two Chiefs running backs as well. So again, with my attitude on the Chiefs, it's getting as much exposure as possible to the weapons they have, especially in a potentially really high scoring game. Now, it may not work all the time with these periphery players, and we saw it didn't even work out for Travis Kelce or the main players last week beyond Pringle. So that's something to keep in mind. But I don't think this game will disappoint scoring-wise. I think the Chiefs will go back to scoring well over 30 points in this game. That opens up the fantasy opportunity for everybody. Obviously not going to play their defense in this one with the Texans on the other side. Now with the Texans, I think you roll out everyone you can as well. I'm not saying go into Darren Fells after his random two-touchdown game. It seems like a random Texans tight end scores a couple touchdowns every few weeks for this team. We want DeAndre Hopkins to do some smashing here, and I think it finally happens after Will Fuller's big game. You got to respect Will Fuller downfield. I think Will Fuller's still a viable start. He's not going to come near the 14 catches for 214. I think it's going to be a little bit more balanced where he could get a lot of run here, and that's going to open things up in turn for DeAndre Hopkins. So if you're disappointed and frustrated with DeAndre Hopkins, I think this is an overcorrection game where he gets going. And again, the Chiefs secondary is bad on both sides. So Hopkins is a lock-in wide receiver one. I think he could have his best game of the season here. While Fuller, not going to have a little bit of a drop-off, but still viable as a wide receiver three in standard and PPR leagues this week. They got him involved all over the field. It wasn't just the deep threats. And we'll have to watch if Kenny Stills can return. That can cut into Fuller a little bit. But I would think that the matchup still line up better on the outside for the Chiefs. And right now, the way Deshaun Watson is playing, and you figured this game is going to have a lot of volume for Watson. Catching up with Mahomes should be back and forth affair. I think you definitely need to have Hopkins and Fuller in your lineups this week. Now, DFS-wise, I think that's also a good place to go. Didn't quite work out with the Watson-Hopkins stack. Last week, it just certainly worked out with the Fuller-Watson stack, but that's another thing you can look at DFS this week. I think I would build a lot of lineups around DeAndre Hopkins, especially in cash games, and I think he's a good tournament play as well this week. Now, in the backfield, Carlos Hyde has looked good. We're worried a little bit about the game flow, but it's been more of Duke Johnson touching the ball. He hasn't really done much as a receiver, which is kind of weird, but I think there are going to be, again, chances to score here, so Hyde is viable there, and Johnson, if the Texans get way behind here with their defense, should get a lot of checkdowns as well, playing underneath a little bit. We haven't seen that kind of develop yet because the Texans really haven't been in games where they've had a big lead. They've been in close battles of attrition, which they've lost, or games that they've opened it up and had their own big lead. So Duke, we haven't seen that, but this may be a time where you see that little open up here. Obviously, you're not going anywhere near the Texans' defense this week. They had the big interception return for a touchdown against Matt Ryan and the Falcons, despite giving up a lot of big yards, but that won't happen with Mahomes, who just doesn't throw bad interceptions. Our next game that we look at as we turn to the 4 o'clock window, this is actually the marquee game, so kind of a weird game that's not in a national window. Part of it is that we didn't know the 49ers were going to be this good, coming off a dominant performance against the Browns. It's 50.5 points. So a lot of high-scoring games here that we'll talk about here in the second half of the week. This is one of them. It's actually not the second highest behind the Texans and Chiefs. So that's another 4 o'clock game we'll get to in a moment. But you look at the Rams, they're 3-point favorites here. Now, the biggest news here is Todd Gurley's banged up with a quad injury. It's called a thigh contusion by Sean McVay. So it's a week-to-week day-to-day thing here. So we're not quite sure if Gurley's going to suit up. You could see Malcolm Brown in this game. It's a tough matchup to begin with, but if Malcolm Brown is in there for Gurley, you absolutely have to play him because, again, this is the keys to a good offense. We know they're okay giving him volume, and they're very good at finishing drives, rushing in the red zone. Keep in mind that Nick Chubb had a pretty good game, minus a touchdown against his 49ers D, which was pretty tough. And the Rams, in general, are going to be in scoring position quite a bit. Here, we know the 49ers have been excellent on defense. I wouldn't go with Jared Goff. He's just been too inconsistent, not getting the touchdowns. He can put up the yardage, maybe, but we know the 49ers are much better pass defense than what he's faced in recent weeks against the Buccaneers and Seahawks. So even the garbage may not be as big, but that's why I'm into Malcolm Brown or Gurley. I think they have a chance, again, to score multiple times in this game because that's what they do inside the 10. You're worried about them spreading the field with their receivers. It really opens up the running game. And not by accident, you're going to take the touchdowns from Gurley and or Brown in this game. As you get them, that still counts in touchdown production here for fantasy football. So Gurley or Brown still has to be there. I think you can stay away from Goff. Cooper Kupp definitely is in your lineup, locked and loaded as a wide receiver one at this point. That's his production. And you look at Brandon Cooks, he's dealing with a concussion. We'll see if he's cleared. If he's not cleared, I think Gerald Everett has more appeal at tight end versus extending to someone like Josh Reynolds. Robert Woods obviously gets a bump up as well. And you start Woods, Kupp, and Cooks no matter what every week. But if Cooks is out, Gerald Everett coming off the big game against the Seahawks certainly has appeal to step in there as a target person here in this game. It's a high over-under, so we expect both teams to score quite a bit, with the Rams being only slight favorite at home. So there should be definitely volume in the passing game. I'm just not going to tie it to Goff right now because of the mistakes and also the Rams scoring quite a bit rushing-wise in the red zone. Now, on the 49ers side of things, the Rams are pretty leaky against the run. So Matt Breida, I'm looking at it more of a deep league flex. Big run dependent there last week, but Tevin Coleman's really the leader of this backfield. So if you need both of those guys as flex plays, I think they're certainly viable. I don't think I can extend to the receivers here. I just don't know what's going to happen between Dante Pettis, Marquise Goodwin, and Deebo Samuel, but George Kittle in a good spot. So George Kittle and the running backs, I think if you need Jimmy Garoppolo in a deeper league and you have maybe a 2QB league where you don't have like a guy like Derek Carr, Mitchell Trubisky / Chase Daniel or Josh Allen this week all on buys, then you could certainly go there if you need Jimmy Garoppolo. But I think in a single league there that you might look a little elsewhere, but the running game is probably going to give him a chance to set up 215-2 in this game on the other side of Jared Goff. And obviously, I think I want to avoid playing the Rams defense at home. They're not playing very well. And the 49ers defense, given the point total on this one, I think it's a week where you can avoid them. I wouldn't quite drop them because they're so good so far, but I would try to, if you have room on your roster, try to keep them and get another streaming option in there for you this week that has a much better matchup. So there you have the first two games. We still have five more games to talk about here in week number six. But first I got to tell you, this episode of Locked On Fantasy Football is brought to you by Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter the promo code KICKOFF at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100 there at Vivid Seats. We'll be right back here to break down three more games in the late window of the Week 6 NFL action. All right, let's continue here looking at the games of Week 6. Again, this late window is pretty big, and we'll be all over it here in this segment. We have three more 4 o'clock games to talk about here. Then we'll wrap up the show in our final segment looking at the two primetime games, Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football. But here's a game I was teasing earlier that had that appeal, high-scoring appeal here between the Texans Chiefs and 49ers Rams games. It's the Falcons Cardinals, and again, this is a Matt Ryan 300-yard games in every week so far. It's had some mixed results with the touchdown, but he's getting it done. This sometimes helps when you have a bad defense and an inept running game, and you're trailing all the time, and you're always throwing. It's going to help here, and that's what the production leads to here. Julio Jones gets a shot here without Patrick Peterson on the other side. You have Calvin Ridley. I think you want to keep going with him after a nice rebound game for him. Austin Hooper. The Cardinals, we know, have been destroyed by really good tight ends all year long. Austin Hooper qualifies. Mohamed Sanu, if you need him, is a viable play in this game as well. So a lot of good stuff coming out of the Falcons passing game. Devonta Freeman, Ito Smith in the running game, not so much. Just doesn't have too much appeal. The Cardinals are actually much improved against the run from last year. Their biggest issue has been the pass here without Peterson and without Robert Alford there, who's been injured and down here for the Cardinals. They're very leaky on the back end. They cannot match up well against the Falcons. So good spot for everything in the Falcons passing game tied to Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan is going to be a popular DFS quarterback probably this week as well based on this matchup and this total. So not a bad place to go here. And it could resemble the Texans game. I'm not saying it's going to have close to 90 points here, but it certainly can go well over 52 here and help the Falcons produce. And they're actually 2.5-point favorites in this one. I like them to win the game as well. So in the end, that could help Freeman, but I think it's going to be all about the passing here because the Cardinals should be very tough on the Falcons. We'll see about David Johnson. He's got the back issue. He's day-to-day. He certainly could miss this game here for the Cardinals. So Chase Edmonds, I hope you handcuffed him or went out to try to pick him up here if you were a Johnson owner. Even if you're not a Johnson owner, be on standby because he's got the keys to a good offense. He's pretty much a plug-and-play right now as a runner and receiver if David Johnson's out. So Edmonds or Johnson should be a top 10 running back this week, given the Falcons are better a little bit against pass-catching backs, but still weak in that area and weak straight up against the run as well. Now, Larry Fitzgerald is a good spot against the secondary as well. Christian Kirk could come back and make some big plays as well this week. Kirk would be a nice addition to boost the value of Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray at home, I like this matchup. Again, high scoring, back and forth, close spread here. Kyler Murray will be in good position. He did some running last week. He got production even without throwing a touchdown pass last week because he ran one in, ran very well there, giving you that Lamar Jackson, Michael Vick, old school type production there with that boost in the running game. But we've been waiting to see that. It's happening now. Now he could have an extra passing weapon here as well, and the game script could really line up for more volume than usual here for Murray. So see, back and forth should be fun. I want to invest in this game quite a bit in DFS. If I don't have too much here in season long, I still want to be a big part of this game in fantasy. The next game we'll talk about in the 4 o'clock window, it's 44.5, so a little bit less here. Sam Darnold returns for the Jets. They host the Cowboys, who are 7.5-point favorites in this game. Now, Sam Darnold really helps Jamison Crowder here underneath, and it's going to be an interesting game to see how the Jets' offense kind of comes to life. So Jamison Crowder and Le'Veon Bell, expect it's going to be all about them dumping off the underneath short passing game. I'm not going anywhere else here. Robbie Anderson and all the like here with Sam Darnold returning. I'm not trusting in Darnold either there this week. So it's going to be a pretty brutal matchup overall for the Jets, but at least makes Crowder and Bell a little bit more appealing here in fantasy football this week. And Crowder certainly worth a pickup in PPR leagues as a wide receiver 3. And someone dropped him with his Jets debacle of an offense while Darnold was off. Now, Cowboys defense is a good play again, even Darnold returning versus Luke Falk. You look on the Cowboys side, fire up the receivers. Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup, this Jets secondary is awful. Ezekiel Elliott's locked in. Dak Prescott, if you need him. We'll watch the weather a little bit. The Jets have actually been better against the pass than you think, but one concern is that the Cowboys won't need to throw as much here. They might want to scale it back to get well, and you might see a little bit of more Zeke, but still big play-oriented offense. So a lot of Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup. I'm not extending to Jason Witten, Randall Cobb, anywhere there in this offense, but I feel confident about Dak Prescott having another solid game here. I know he had the turnovers last week, but in the end, he had the big plays through for more than 400 yards. So it might be more reserved game in the 250 and 2-3 range here, but that's good. It'll be a clean game and also help Ezekiel Elliott with a little bit of more run here to put away a game a little bit earlier, especially after two tough defeats there for the Cowboys against the Saints and Packers. The final game of this 4 o'clock window, the Titans and Broncos, not much to see here. The Broncos are 2-point favorites, slight at home. I actually like the Titans in this game. 40.5 is the over-under. Now, you're not touching anything here really on the Titans except for Derrick Henry. I just can't trust Delanie Walker. Things have been going negative for him here of late. None of the receivers have appeal. I think Adam Humphries, if you're desperate in a deep PPR, Broncos look like they'll be without Bryce Callahan in the slot again, so he might be the best receiver, the best matchup. Corey Davis could see a lot of Chris Harris Jr. A.J. Brown is too inconsistent to go with against the secondary. So, again, normal leagues, you're going with Derrick Henry as your RB2. And looking at Adam Humphries as a deep league PPR wide receiver 3, if you're going there at all. Now, the Broncos, Cortland Sutton's a guy I'm not benching. I know it's a tough matchup technically the outside, but we also saw DJ Chark come through against this team. And DJ Chark and Cortland Sutton are very similar receivers. So I like him. I'm not going to extend Emmanuel Sanders. The Titans are pretty good on the outside overall. In the slot, Deshaun Hamilton might have some appeal, but he's just not getting enough run here from Joe Flacco. So Noah Fant is where I really like the inside production to come up. And if you're deep league, needing a tight end there with the bye week issues, you can maybe have Darren Waller off this week, or you have Flyer Dawson Knox there. You're stuck with Trey Burton. He's not a bad guy to put in Noah Fant here because the Titans can be leaky against the tight end. We've seen that here. So he's the guy in the middle of the field I can take advantage of. Cortland Sutton being the other guy I can produce. Not a big fan of Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman in this game. I just don't like their matchup against the Titans. It's been playing out that way, that the Broncos usually run well and produce well against teams with bad run defenses, and they usually struggle against teams with tough run defenses, and that's the case with the Titans this week. And Titans and Broncos defenses, if you need them, Broncos can rack up sacks there against Marcus Mariota. Titans can really get after it and make big plays against Joe Flacco. Definitely two viable plays. It might be the most two appealing plays overall in this game beyond Derrick Henry. So there you go. We've talked about all the 4 p.m. games. Again, we have two more primetime games here to talk about to close our matchup Thursday show. But first, I got to tell you, it's exciting to talk about fantasy football. Exciting to sit there on Sundays watching our favorite players go off. The excitement of fantasy football players scoring long touchdowns, whether the running backs or wide receivers. But there's a way to make this even more exciting for yourself during NFL season. You can go to mybookie.ag. You can put your NFL knowledge to the test and make some extra cash this season. All players now are invited to play in the free $50,000 Survivor Contest. Winner takes all right now before the start of Monday Night Football. Pick one team each week, survive, and the longest you can survive, you can take home up to $50,000 in cash. Make a successful deposit with MyBookie and you'll receive a free entry into the contest today. Between football season, the MLB playoffs, and the start of the NBA and NHL season, it's the best time of the year to get off the sideline, get in all the action. And MyBookie is the best place to do that. They have the best experience there, best player perks in the business, good live in-game betting. And you can win in many different ways. You can try a parlay, bet a lot of games, and if all your picks come through, you can multiply your winnings for a much bigger payout. And if you join now at MyBookie, where they have more ways to win with the best sports book odds you'll find, they'll double your first deposit. All you have to do is enter the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's the promo code LOCKEDON. Double your cash right away. Visit MyBookie.ag today to take advantage of that offer. My bookie, you play, you win, you get paid. We'll be right back here to close the show looking at the games between the Steelers and Chargers and Lions and Packers. All right, so let's close the show with our two primetime games at the end of the week, Steelers and Chargers. And is up first, 41 is the over-under, so very low here. The Chargers offense is looking pretty weak. They're 7-point favorites, however, at home against the Steelers, who probably are going to have to start Devlin Hodges at quarterback. We'll see if Mason Rudolph can clear concussion protocol. Looked pretty bad last week against the Ravens, so we're not going to be holding our breaths there. Jalen Samuels, by the way, is out with a knee injury. James Washington is out of this game. So, yeah, it's not looking great for the Steelers here overall, but I think they can keep it close with the running game with James Conner here. Certainly, Juju Smith-Schuster is a tough matchup for the secondary, who's played well at times, but have given up things as well downfield for the Chargers. So Juju and Connor can keep the Steelers a little bit competitive, especially Rudolph is in there. I think they'll also help Devlin Hodges. Deontay Johnson will get some run here, and Vance McDonald should be okay after getting hurt a little bit again last week. We'll monitor him as well, but I figure Juju and James Connor are still very viable. The Chargers leaky run defense, and again, have struggled with Juju-type receivers this season, that's for sure. And again, I wouldn't want to invest too much anywhere with the Devlin Hodges, but those two guys, there was a little bit of connection with the principles of the Steelers, and that's where you're going to go and not extend too much this week. And now, the next thing you look at here with the Steelers is their defense. I think they can make a few plays in this game against the Chargers. They'll be pumped up, a little bit desperate, trying to stay in this weak AFC North race at this point. So the defense could do some things. I mean, Philip Rivers and the Chargers are committing a lot of turnovers here. Pretty messy. The offensive line is not that great here for the Chargers. So we'll look at that. Now, on the other side, I'm going to avoid Philip Rivers totally. Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler, I'm playing. I mean, Gordon should get a little bit better run here. Disappointing first game where they got way behind the Broncos. They should be playing ahead on the Steelers, we think. Austin Eckler's just been a lifeblood of this offense, still gave you some good PPR value, even with Gordon returning last week. So he's more of a flex play. Melvin Gordon should return more as an RB2 this week. At wide receiver, Keenan Allen is still in your lineup there. for sure. I think he rebounds from two bad games here with a high volume of targets, as they keep it simple here with the running game. And Allen, Hunter Henry, will have to see if he can return with the knee. It looks a little bit questionable now. Mike Williams still a little bit banged up here overall, so it'll be interesting to see where we go with this one. But I think, again, Keenan Allen and the backs is all I'm trusting, as well as the Chargers defense here, especially if it's Devlin Hodges in primetime. Mason Rudolph in primetime is not bad either for this Chargers defense to be fired up. But I figure the Steelers, as a road team, but we know the Chargers don't really have a home field advantage. They'll play better than we think, and the principles are where you want to go with the Steelers. Now, finally, we look at Monday Night Football. It's the Lions and the Packers. The Packers are 4-point favorites at home, 47 over under, so pretty typical number there. We'll start with the Packers. Aaron Rodgers just isn't getting the touchdowns. I know that's very frustrating, but it should correct here. Davante Adams having a little extra day to recover. He should be back from his toe injury, we would expect, and that certainly has appeal for Rodgers. Adams has to be in your lineup, even with Darius Slay on the other side there for the Lions. You look at elsewhere, I'm not going to invest too much in Geronimo Allison and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. It's too inconsistent there with those other receivers, especially with Jimmy Graham in the mix and Jay Kumerow doing some things. I just don't want to trust other Packers receivers other than Adams at this very moment. He usually does well in primetime. So going there for sure with the Packers now. Rodgers, Adams, Aaron Jones is locked in every week. He's just been a touchdown machine. He's so good in the passing game as well. The Lions are very bad against running backs this year. So Aaron Jones, every week play now. We're stopping looking at the matchups at all. He's just too good, too involved, especially with Jamal Williams in a tough spot to recover here, that he's going to be a big part going forward. And we see that Matt LaFleur really trusts Aaron Jones at this point. As well, Packers defense, you can definitely play them at home. The primetime emotional bump, get busy in coverage here. Now, in terms of the receivers I like, I think Kenny Golladay is more where I'm going with Marvin Jones. I know Marvin Jones has had a history of big games against the Packers, especially in Lambeau Field. But I think Kenny Golladay and Jones, when you look at them, I think if they would kind of split up the corners, Jair Alexander and Kevin King, I think, let's put it this way. I think Jair Alexander is in better position to put Marvin Jones in a lock versus putting Kenny Golladay in a lock. So I think they'll end up with Golladay with King in a lot of situations here. And I think that matchup I like a little bit more. And Kenny Golladay should be in your lineup every week. He's just too dangerous of a threat. He's the true number one overall. He catches touchdowns in a lot of weeks here. He only had one bad game, and he's really the go-to guy for the Lions. So Marvin Jones, that's an extension if you want to sit him, because I think whether it's King or Alexander, there he can have a lot more trouble than Golladay, who's just the better all-around receiver in this particular matchup. So that's how you look at it. T.J. Hockenson has a concussion. I doubt he's going to be available for you in this game. If he is, not a bad look there if you need someone at tight end, especially, again, the state of this position. You can definitely look there in the middle of the field. So Hockenson and Golladay, I like more of the targets going for Matthew Stafford here this week if Hockenson plays over Marvin Jones this week. And Matthew Stafford, not bad if you need him. He's had a very good start to the season, by the way, very viable in fantasy, and that can continue here on Monday Night Football, even if he makes a couple of mistakes. I think just the Packers could be in control in this game, and we know that Matthew Stafford is pretty good at delivering garbage production. Again, he's played very well this season in getting the ball out. And Kerryon Johnson, that might be the best Lions player that you look at overall in this one. We know how bad the Packers are against running backs, so you should get a touchdown from Kerryon Johnson, some good volume use in the passing game as well. So he's the best start on the Lions. I think Golladay is the next best start. And Matthew Stafford, if you need him, I think you can certainly use him in this game based on how he's playing and based on how his weapons could do in a game script that could really favor him this week. So there you have it. There's a look at all the games now between Matchup Wednesday and Matchup Thursday on the Week 6 NFL schedule, breaking them down all which way from the fantasy angle. Tomorrow we'll be even laser-focused more on DFS, so DraftKings lineups. We'll talk about our lineup construction, what we learned, as well as our takeaways from the Giants-Patriots game on Monday night, or on Thursday Night Football, and then our injury updates for the week, the other things you need to know going to the weekend, is what we can expect, who's going to be out, who's going to be in, and how they're going to affect how you build your final lineups for Sunday afternoon. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you next time.